We're going to be talking about salvation's encouragement. So the songs were, you could see that they were focused on the salvation of the Lord and what he was doing. If I'd ask you to open your Bibles with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Get your outline out. It's important to have the outline out, kind of follow along. Chapter 1, verse 22. We're going to be looking at verse 22 through chapter 2, verse 3. A few verses here. And for the last 4 weeks, as Pastor Tom's taught on three of them, I taught last week. What we've been doing through this last month, we've really been recognizing the character and nature of God through God's Word and how it's declared in His Word, and then being encouraged in that truth to us. So we've been looking at the character, nature, who God is, how He is, what He's done, all those kind of things through the Word of God, and being encouraged to live for the Lord or be encouraged on the truth of who God is. And so that's been the focus. What we're going to do today is we're going to look at the character and nature of our salvation, the encouragement it is to us, the character and nature of our salvation, the truth of our salvation, and then we're going to see the exhortation because of that truth. That's what we're doing here. That's what Peter's doing. Just so we set our heart on there, I'll give you a minute to find your place, get your outline out. But that's really the focus where we're going here. We're going to be looking at the character and nature of our salvation and seeing the truth of that and being encouraged by God through His Word by the truth of that and then exhorted in our life by that truth. You know, each week we post on Facebook. We have a Facebook account for Living Word Fellowship. And the sermon is posted on Monday, and then a quote of the week on Tuesday, and then a verse of the week on Wednesday, and then there's some other things that go along there. We might have Awana, or we might have VBS, or the classes that might be offered. There's certain different things. It's just out there for information. But last week, the quote of the week for the last Tuesday that was posted was from John Calvin, where it said this. Listen to what he said. It said, "Joy is the quiet gladness of heart. Joy is the quiet gladness of heart as one contemplates the goodness of God's saving grace in Christ Jesus." That's pretty good, isn't it? As you contemplate the goodness of God in Christ Jesus, as you dwell on that, as you think about that, as you just let you dwell it in your heart and mind, when it does that, when you think about the goodness of God in our salvation through Jesus Christ, when you contemplate that, there's a quietness of heart that's joy. That's absolutely true, isn't it? When you understand the truth of your salvation and all that it is, there is a joy that comes to your life. Peter is, in what he's saying here in this passage, is very similar. What Peter's doing is declares the character and nature of our salvation, and as you contemplate it, as you acknowledge it, see it, it encourages you to act upon your salvation. It encourages you to be grateful, humble, loving, and long for the truth of God's Word. That's what he's saying. See, because really, we need encouraged, don't we? How many in the room needs encouraged? Boy, you know, how many in the room need encouraged? We need encouraged, right? Life is hard, life is tough, like all the things going on. And God's Word is there, and it talks about these things of who God is, the character and nature of God that encourages us. We looked at that last week. Then it talks about the reality, the truth of our salvation, and it brings encouragement to our heart. It does encourage us to live a certain way. So let's just read the passage, and we'll go from there. Listen to Peter and what he says to the church. 1 Peter 1, 22 through 2:3. Listen to what he says. "Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your soul for sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like grass, and the flower of the grass withers and the flower falls off. Verse 25, but the word of the Lord endures forever, and this was the word that was preached to you. Chapter 2, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and all envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to your salvation if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord." It's pretty amazing what Peter's saying here. And like I said, you know, just get your heart on this and just to be thinking and contemplating. What we're going to look at here is Peter says some things, he declares some things, he says some truths that are there. They understood them. We'll kind of dig a little deeper in them. But when he just says them on the surface, what he's doing is he's talking about the character and nature of your salvation. He's just putting it out there. The character of it, how God did it, the nature of it, how it came about, those kind of things. First, you'll notice what Peter said, in the obedience to the truth. You see it right there in the text, verse 22. Since in obedience to the truth, that's what he says. What's that mean? What's Peter talking about? Since you believed in the truth of Jesus Christ, in the work and life of God, the gospel. It's pretty simple. Since that you believed in it, since you obeyed it by faith, since you believed in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you've confessed with your mouth Jesus is Lord, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Peter's just referring to it in a sense as a Christian. Since you obeyed the truth of the gospel, since you acted upon it about faith. It's like this in Hebrews 5, 9. It says this, Jesus became to all who obey him the source of eternal life. Jesus became, to all those who obey him, the source of eternal life. He's talking about obedience to the gospel. He's talking about obeying it. He's talking about believing it, trusting it, putting your faith in it. And since you did that, right, the gospel, right, that God came down, incarnate God, became a man, lived a sinless life, gave us life on the cross, died on the cross, took the penalty, the penalty for our sin. And then God raised him from the dead to bring justification, to give us the new life and prove that he was God. And we all needed that. None of us are good enough to save ourselves. None of our works will do any of that. We all are sinners in need of salvation, and God provided it through Jesus Christ. And if we believe in that, trust in that, put our faith in that, lay our life in it, that we surrender our life to Christ and that we surrender our life to God, that we repent, like Craig was talking about, that we turn from going this way and we turn and go this way. We turn from following self, from following idols, to turn to serve a living and true God. We've been serving our own self and a lie and all of that. You know, the gospel, the whole gospel, when you obeyed it, when you believed it, when you surrendered to it, since you've done that, that's what he's talking about. That's what Peter is saying. They understood it. They don't have to write it all out and write a big thing on it in a sermon on what it is when you obey the truth. And neither do you. It's when you just said, you know what, Lord, I am yours. I surrender my life to Christ. You don't have to write a big sermon on it. It's like just today. And what was shared in today. It's just, I just obeyed the Lord. I just believed in Christ. I just did what God had prompted on my heart. I surrendered to him. That's what Peter's saying. That's salvation's character, its nature. You obeyed the call of God in Christ Jesus. You believe and trusted and put your faith in the life and saving work of Jesus. Since you've obeyed the truth, you're saved, he says. And then it says this. Look at it. It says this. This is to encourage your heart. Since you obeyed the truth, in obedience to the truth, purified your soul. He said you have a purified soul. And as you would read that, it sounds like you did it, doesn't it? Right, guys? Look at the text. Look at the Word of God. Interact with God's Word. Look what it says. And listen to what God has to say. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your soul. That looks like you did it, doesn't it? But as we get into it and what God actually says, and the verb tenses and all that, we know that you can't purify your soul. Do you know that? Come on, you guys. I can't purify my soul. Can you purify your soul? I can't save myself. Can you? Because we know in salvation's character, we can't do that. And for we know through the Word of God, listen to this, we know through the Word of God, and you know in your salvation, that apart from the call of God, John 6, 37 through 40, apart from the convicting work of the Holy Spirit, John 16 and 8 and following, apart from God piercing your heart with the truth of Christ, Acts 2, 36 and following, no one trusts in the Lord. Don't you know that? Absolutely you know that if you're saved. Absolutely, you know that God acted upon you, that he pierced your heart with the truth. He called you. He brought him to yourself. He convicted you, and you acted upon what he brought to you. Amen? Come on, you guys. That's salvation's nature. We need an amen there. Since you did that, God purified your soul, is what he's saying. This is incredible when you look into the Word of God, what he has to say. It overwhelms your heart. No one trusts in the Lord. No one truly believes in the saving work of Christ. You can't. You're dead in your trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2, unless God acts upon your life. Listen, Peter's already said this. Look at 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. He's already mentioned it. See, they understand it. They totally know it. Nobody's teaching them this. This is what they came to in the gospel. This is the New Testament church. Peter just refers to it. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it's Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout all this area. Listen to what he writes. Who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest of measure. He just states it. He just states it because you understand it. There's no argument in it. You just know God called you to himself according to what God was doing, God the Father, and you know the sanctifying work of the Spirit pierced your heart with the truth of God, and then he brought forth you faith so you could obey the call of Christ, and then he cleansed you by the blood of Christ. You just know it. There's no argument about it. There's no saying, well, it's just now, that's how it happened. Did God call you? Come on, you guys, amen? Right? He pierced your heart with the truth, right? Did you figure this out? Did you come to the smart conclusion that this is the best way that, and these, or did God show you your sin? Amen, right? There's no argument about it. There's no point of arguing about it. It's what God did. You just obeyed in the faith God gave you. Man's responsibility, God's sovereignty. We're never going to reconcile those to where we put them in a box. We just know God's sovereign work of God pierced your heart with the truth and called you to himself, and the Holy Spirit gave you understanding of Christ and then gave you really faith to believe, and then your response, I just acted upon it. I don't know anything other than that, and neither do you. But that's what Peter's referring to. It's so encouraging because God is at work here. It's the sovereign work of God doing what God is doing. We're to preach the gospel and share the gospel and all of the things, but we know this is what it is. Listen, isn't that what he said? Peter already said, God chose you. He called you by the work of the Holy Spirit. He pierced your heart with the truth. He convicted you of sin. He brought faith so you could obey Christ, and he cleansed you with the, he purified you by the blood of Christ. We could go through all kinds of scriptures, but see, God purified your soul. In your salvation, God washed you with new life, Titus 3:5. Look at 2 Peter. Look at what he says in the beginning of the second book he wrote. Turn over to 2 Peter with me, chapter 1, verse 1 through 4 and verse 9. Listen, he declares it here, and we just need to listen to the word of God, but this is the character and nature of your salvation. And so as you obey the truth, God purified your soul. As you came to faith, listen to what he has to say. Simon Peter, chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, 2 Peter. 2 Peter, Simon Peter, a bondservant of the apostle and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power, God's, has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Verse 9, for he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, and has forgotten his purification from his former sins. Peter's just referring to it. See, God purified you from your sins. God purified your soul. What he did is he set you free from being mastered by sin, from being a slave to sin, and he forgave you for your sin and all of that. So God purified it, and it's a faith that you received, the same one as that Peter received. That's what he said. Hey, you received faith. It's the same kind as ours, as the apostle Peter received. And it was by, not you, it was by the righteousness of God, our God, and Jesus Christ. And he says, and then seeing that his divine nature is granted to us through our salvation, the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. The whole passage says that God called you, God showed you, God gave you understanding, God gave you faith, God acted upon you, and you believed in him and trusted in him, and he purified your soul at that time. And if you don't act upon this, you've forgotten what God has done in your perfect purification. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? It is absolutely overwhelming, incredible. And when you recognize all that God did in your salvation, all the grace and love of God bestowed upon you through Jesus Christ and acting upon you, you have nothing in yourself to boast about. And let's face it, you guys, isn't that the struggle of our life? Our own boasting, our own fame, our own pride, our own self-exaltation, our own, right, guys? Amen? It absolutely is. Each and every one of us in this room. And so Peter's just laying right on out there, and God purified your soul, and you were born again. That's what he's talking about. It's what Ezekiel spoke of in chapter 36, verse 25 through 27. It said, God speaking said, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and I will be, and you will be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone, I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe them and observe my ordinances. Listen, me and you needed to be washed. We needed to be cleansed. We needed to be cleansed from all of our filthiness and from all our idolatry of self-worship. And we needed a new heart and we needed a new spirit. And he had to remove the heart of stone from us and give us a new heart of flesh. And he needed to put his spirit within us and give us a new spirit. And he needed to work in our life to cause us to walk in his ways and cause us to observe his ordinances. Every single one of us. By the grace of God, by the work of God, by the work of Christ. This is what he did in our life, in our salvation. That's the character and nature of it. Nobody came good. Nobody came with not a filthy heart. Nobody came with not idolatry. Nobody came with the right spirit, right heart, right attitude. Nobody did. Zero. Zero. And that's what Peter's referring to. And that's so important for us to understand, because when you don't understand that clarity, when you think something came from you, when you think some of it was from me, if it's just a little bit, all of that pride is there, and you don't walk in humility and quietness of heart. That's what happened to you and me. We were born again. Look at verse 23. I'm just kind of zipping through this. Is that okay, you guys? Because there's a lot here, but I'm just kind of going with the focus on encouraging us in our salvation, our salvation's encouragement. He said this, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God. I've been born again. You've been born again. God pierced your heart with the truth. You believed in the truth. You believed God's word. You believed the gospel preached to you. God purified your soul. The purification, that word purified is a perfect participle. It means that there's a past action when you got saved with continual results, and God is continually working on you living out your purified soul. And so is when you have been born again. Same thing. It's a perfect participle. It's a past action. When God saved me, when he changed me, when he brought me into the kingdom of God, and he delivered me from the kingdom of darkness. All the things that you can go through in the word of God. But when I got saved, God purified my soul. I was born again. I got new life, and it has a continual action in my life. I continually change, grow, mature. That's what he's saying. That's the nature and the character of our salvation. We've been born again, and it's of an imperishable seed. That's what he's talking about, an imperishable seed. What we need to do and what we're looking at here, and I want to help us today, and just in a short time here, for us to understand and give recognition to the truth of our salvation, because we can't be helped but be encouraged when we see the truth of it. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says this, by grace you have been saved through faith, and that faith was not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so no one could boast. 1 Peter 1, 3 says it this way. We talked about it in Sunday school today. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's incredible. That's the nature of my salvation. That's the nature of your salvation. The divine grace of God shown you, shown me, the love of God given toward us. And when one sees and contemplates the true nature of our salvation, Peter's just mentioning it here, you can't help but be different. Your life's different. You have gratitude, honor of God, value of life, filled with purpose. You're encouraged. Let me give you an illustration on it. When you understand that God acted upon this world, this life, and you, and called you to himself, and pierced your heart with the truth, and gave you understanding of what was true, and then the work of him brought faith onto your heart, and all you did was act upon the faith that God gave you, and then he, all of the new life that came from salvation, when you recognize that, you're just a different life. And the illustration would be like a famous athlete. Well, they don't even have to be famous, just a really good athlete or a really good singer or a really good business person. You know, we've all seen them where they don't recognize their athletic ability or their prowess to be successful or their singingness is from anything but themselves. They all think it's from themselves. They think, you know, nothing wrong with working hard and practicing, and yes, it does kind of perfect what you've been gifted with, but they don't recognize it's a gift. And you've seen them all. You've seen the athlete that says, you know, I want $18 million. I want to be the highest. There's one in right now that says, I want to be the highest paid receiver ever in football. The arrogance that pours off of him is just hard to take. Because he doesn't recognize that apart from God, he can't even walk. He doesn't recognize that apart from God, he can't even breathe. He doesn't recognize. He doesn't see it. He needs saved. I understand it, so I don't have any bitterness or hatred or anything from it. But that's where it is. When you don't recognize that what you have is from God, when you're a singer and you have a great voice and you don't recognize it, man, arrogance pours off your life. You don't care about others. You don't care about people. You think it's from you. It's pride. It's self-glory. You've seen it, right? All of you have seen it, right? Right? You've all seen the people in life that recognize that it's from God, right? That they say, man, I can hit a baseball, or I can slam a basketball, or I have a beautiful voice, or I can be successful in business. You see their life. There's a total difference going on, right? Because they recognize that God has gifted them for a purpose. They see the purpose even more than just hitting a baseball or singing a song or being in business. They see that God gifted them for a reason, for a purpose, for value, for them to be in some place in life that God could use them for His glory. They have humility. They have gratitude. They have thankfulness. Now, they're sinners like me and you, and so that kind of goes like this, but there's a realization in their heart, a gratefulness. They're so encouraged with what God has done, right? It's the same thing about your salvation. When you recognize that your salvation is a gift of God, that apart from Him, you wouldn't believe, that apart from Him, you wouldn't understand. But apart from Him, you wouldn't have conviction. That apart from God piercing your heart with the truth and calling you, you would be unsaved, destined to hell. You actually understand that your salvation is a gift of God. And you're so encouraged. See, but if it's part of you, if it's part of what I did, if it's part of something in me, that there was some more goodness in me, but it's not in that person over there that doesn't believe. Now, I understand where that understanding and that truth goes into when you start thinking the big picture. But God is talking to us right now about us being encouraged by our salvation and understanding that God is God and we are not. And do you know, do you acknowledge, do you understand that you are saved because of God's gift? Do you? And apart from that gift, you could do absolutely zero about it. And God would be righteous and holy and just and is. So when you're saved, when you've come seeing the Lord, when you have the salvation, when you have new life, when you've been born again and you have all this hope and you've been born of an imperishable seed, when you see that and it was God acting in the world and upon you, humility and gratitude and purpose overwhelm your life. For you've been born again and it was God. See, Peter is speaking that way and it's all through there. That's what he's sharing. That's what he's laying in front of us. That's what he's wanting us to bank upon, that our life is based upon, and that based upon these truths, we can act what God wants us to do in this world, based upon these truths. We're to be encouraged by the truth of our salvation. God called you to Himself, pierced your heart, a blind heart, with the truth of God, brought faith to the surface of your heart. God purified your soul. He gave you a new life, a life that now can honor Him, no longer slave sin. You acted upon that faith and believed in the gospel. And that new life endures forever. Look at 23 through 25. He says this, for you've been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever, and this was the word that was preached to you, the gospel, this new life you have. Your flesh, your physical life, will die. Every single one of us. And that's what he's talking about. Here's the illustration. But like God's word, your new life will endure forever. It's been born of an imperishable seed. Your physical life has been born of a perishable seed. A perishable seed, it grows, it dies. Your physical life. your spiritual life, your new life in Christ, been born of an imperishable seed, the truth of God's word. It grows, it lives forever. That's what he's referring to. That's the nature of your salvation. The physical life's only going to last how long it's going to last. Your physical life might be a beautiful flower. It might be an oak tree that stands tall and firm. It can be a lot of things, but it'll be blown away one day. But your new life in Christ, your spiritual life in your spirit is reconciled to God, will last forever. And listen to what else he says. And you have a new spirit-empowered capacity to love. Look at verse 22 again. And I know I'm going quick. But look at verse 22 again. So listen to all that we said. This is all here. This is all in God's word. This is what it says. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your soul, and listen to what for? For a sincere love, other brethren fervently love one another. You know, in your salvation, in your purified soul, and what God did and cleansed you, he gave you a spirit-empowered capacity to love. And here it says, love for the brethren, but it's just not for love for the brethren. It's love for many other things. Through God's word, we understand this. So you have a spirit-empowered capacity to love the brethren, but you have a spirit-empowered capacity to love God, John 5:1, to love Christ, Revelation 2:4, to love God's word, Psalm 119:40, to love the truth, 2 Thessalonians 2:10, to love the lost, Galatians 5:14. Now, we're to contemplate the goodness of God's saving grace in Christ Jesus. Contemplate it. I'm going to read it to you slow, okay? And then we'll get to the last thing. I want you to contemplate this. This is what Peter is putting out there. Here he is. He's saying all of this. And I just touched the surface, guys. But this is really good. This is important. God called you to himself. God pierced your heart with the truth of Christ. God gifted you with faith. You acted upon that faith. You obeyed the gospel. God gave you new life. You were born again of an imperishable seed. Your new life will endure forever through all eternity with God. He purified your soul. He set you free from being mastered by sin. Sin is no longer your master. He is sanctifying you right now by changing you and growing you to be more like Christ. His Spirit continues to empower you to have a real capacity to love God, to love Christ, to love the brethren, to love God's word, to love truth, to love the lost. And God did it. He did it all. For we cannot do that. That's the character and nature of salvation. Contemplate that goodness. That encourage you? That encourage you? See, salvation's encouragement is to recognize what God has done. To recognize this is what he has done. This is just simply in this. I've just pulled some things out. There's even more there, and I just kind of kept it where it is today for a shorter message. I'm certainly encouraged. I know you are. It's interesting how God writes and how he does this, and so he says all of this, and then what are we to do? What's the exhortation? Look at chapter 2, verse 1, therefore. That's in the text, the way God wrote it. Therefore, you're supposed to push it back. Because of these truths that I just said, that God called you to himself, he pierced your heart with the truth, he gifted you with faith, and you acted upon that faith and obeyed the gospel, that he gave you new life, and you were born again of an imperishable seed. Your new life will endure forever through all eternity, and God has purified your soul, set you free from sin, and he's sanctifying you, changing you, growing you, and the Spirit continues to empower you to have a real capacity to love God, Christ, the truth, others, the body of Christ, the lost, all of that. We contemplate that. And he says, therefore, based on those truths, based on what God has done, therefore, he says this. Look at verse 22. Fervently love. You see, because if you don't understand salvation's character and nature, it's hard to really fervently love. But when you understand it and you see it, now God has placed it in you and empowered you with the Holy Spirit to love God, to love Christ, to love that. So God says, all right, here's your choice in the matter. Here's what you get to do. Choose to fervently love. Fervently, an interesting word. You guys will like this word. It's about a muscle that gets stretched to its limit. Bethany, you can think about when you do the barrel racing, your horse pretty much stretches the muscles to the limit. I've watched some of the videos you put in. It's all in, isn't it? That's the word. The muscles that, I'm trying to think of the horse's name, but it's gone. But anyway, the muscles that are put to go around that barrel and just to stop and move and all of that, it's all in, right? That's what God says, how you're supposed to love him, Christ, his word, your neighbors, your family, your kids, the lost. Just be all in, love. It's like an athlete that runs a marathon, man, that last mile, man. Every muscle's in, isn't it? He's saying you choose. Here you go. Here's the action of man. Here's what God does in the salvation of the Lord, and he gives it to him. This is what he says. Based upon what I've done in your life, here's what I ask you. Here's what I call fervently love one another. Fervently love God. Fervently, you know, choose that. Just go ahead and go forward in that. The Holy Spirit's empowering you in that. Based upon the truth of your salvation, look what he said, chapter 2, verse 1, be putting aside all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and envy and slander. Here's another thing that you choose. You choose to love fervently, and here, you got to lay these things aside. It's a continual action verb. Listen, what he's saying is you'll railroad your love. You'll railroad love in anybody when if you don't put aside the malice, the deceit, the hypocrisy, the envy, the slander in your life. Listen, we talked about it in Sunday school. All of us have it. And if we walk around talking about people wrong or malice being against them or envy wanting what they have, right, or deceitful and trying to trick them so they give you what they have or whatever that is, you have that. All of us have that. We got to lay that aside and continually lay that aside because it will railroad our love and it will railroad us acting upon what God has done in our life and choosing to love. And then in verse 2, chapter 2, he says this, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word so that you may grow in respect to salvation. It'll railroad that, what you long for. So here God says, based on the salvation I've given you and you understanding it and the depth of it and how much God has worked, here's what I ask you to do. I call you forth to just lay aside these things that you're going to struggle with and to long for these things, which would be the truth of God's word, the pure milk. Long for them, desire them. And you'll grow in respect to your salvation. You'll grow in respect to what God has done. That's the simple action that God calls for. He summons it out of your life by what he's done with for you in your salvation. I could go on with some things, but I need to close. There's three choices here that God has for us to recognizing that we're encouraged in the truth of our salvation. Three choices based upon the grace toward you and the love given to you in your salvation. Love fervently, lay aside these things, and long for God's truth. That's what he's talking about. And he uses this last thing to encourage you. And I'll just give it to you. Look at verse 3. He says it this way. I'm going to read chapter 2, 1 through 3. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and envy and slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. You see the word tasted there? Yeah, that would go with pure milk of the word, right? And he says long for it like you would like a baby longs for milk. What mom doesn't know what a baby longs for when they're the first time they taste the milk, right? Now that's all they want every 2 hours, right? Am I right? Come on, moms, give me amen there. That's right. It might be even less than 2 hours sometimes, but right, that's it. That's all they want. Yep, right? They're going to cry every 2 hours. They're going to want it every 2 hours. That's our life in Christ. As soon as you've tasted the word of God in the gospel, the truth of God, and you saw what God has done in your life, this is what he said. If you've tasted the kindness of the Lord, if you've tasted it through the truth of God's word of the gospel, since you tasted it, you believe, you trusted, and you saw what God has done in your salvation, when you just put your faith in Christ and trusted in him, you have new life in Christ, all hope, all these kind of things. If you tasted the kindness of the Lord in the first word of God that you understood and believed, because that's the first thing you can only understand and believe is the gospel until you're saved. That's all God talks to you about is the truth of Christ and the truth of you. So when you tasted the kindness of the Lord, when you came to faith in Christ, why wouldn't you long for the pure milk of God's word that goes along with right with what you tasted? In fact, he's saying this, your salvation is just a taste of the kindness of God and the goodness of Christ. And if when you understand that, why wouldn't you long for a more pure word? Why wouldn't you desire it? Because your salvation is just the taste of God's kindness. There's a full plate of God's kindness in his word, his truth for your life now and in for eternal life. Isn't that good? And that's what Peter is saying, because these guys are going to go through some hard things. Can we go ahead and have the praise team come on up, Josh? We'll go a couple minutes long, but we're going to sing a closing song. So as we contemplate this and we look at this, you know, we looked at it that way, and you know, and even preached the message in that way. That we recognize that we obeyed God's calling. We did. We obeyed what He pierced our heart with the truth. We obeyed the gospel. We believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, but all of us acknowledge that God is the one that acted upon us so we could. I mean, we just think about our kids and our grandkids. Each one of us prays for God to pierce their heart with the truth, that God would show them themselves, that God would work in their life. We all know that. It's what we do. It's what we ask. And when God does, we give glory to God. But all of us in our own life, acknowledging that it was only God that acted upon us, is why we believe and why we're saved and why we have new life, why we're born again. Salvation's encouragement. Let's stand and sing a closing song, and then we'll close in prayer. Go ahead, Josh.
Arms open wide, here you save my I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe to you. I owe to you, Jesus.
Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we do recognize, Lord, we bow down at the cross. The cross is the greatest example of the love of God that we can see. There's many of them, but for God to come and give his life as a ransom for many, to go through what he went through, and then call us to himself and reveal to us all that that is in Jesus Christ, to be reconciled back to him, to have a relationship with him, to come get his, God's own possession. We bow before the cross. Thank you for this day. We do owe all to you. Thank you for the encouragement of the body of Christ in your word and for just this day. Help us to live the calling of God that you have put upon our life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.